Well, good morning. I wish I had known before this moment that it was Christmas season because I'm going to be talking about Thanksgiving. I have an alternate title, however, and the alternate title, the fourth Thursday of November comes once a year. But Thanksgiving could be more frequent. Let's read a couple of scripture passages related to that topic. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to youward. Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 17, Ephesians 5, 17. Wherefore, be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunken with wine wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 24. For connection, verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's speak to God in prayer. Our Lord, we thank you for the instruction that you've given us in your word pertaining to all manner of instruction and righteousness and godliness and how you would wish for us to relate to you. And so we look to you for good this morning. We ask for your help. We thank you for your help in time past. And we ask for you to enlighten our understanding on this topic today. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thinking of 1 Thessalonians 5:8 and Ephesians 5:20, one says, giving thanks always for all things, and the other says, in everything, give thanks. And I'll never forget, it was very soon after our family came to be among you all. It was on a Wednesday night, and it was at that time when our Wednesday night meeting was held in a family's home. And I remember the chair I was sitting in, which direction I was facing. Brother Garnes was speaking that particular Wednesday night, and he read those two verses. Now, the verse in 1 Thessalonians, I had heard many times, had heard many sermons about that verse, and every one of them went something like this. In everything, give thanks. But you'll notice that he doesn't say, for everything, give thanks. And so then much was made of that particular issue. And I don't know how, but it had escaped my attention that the Bible does say, for everything give thanks in Ephesians 5:20. And I suspect that part of the reason that that particular home that we met in has undergone remodeling is because of the dent that my chin left in the floor as I realized that for 35 or so years or more, I had missed that particular extremely important fact that was in the Word of God. But I've never forgotten it since then. But it does take some thinking to understand what it might mean. We're to give thanks in everything. For all things, give thanks. How about this for a thought experiment? Thank you, Lord, that I was not caught when robbing the First National Bank yesterday. Thank you, Lord, that I was strong enough to win that fight in the bar last night that I started. Thank you, Lord, for all the money I have made selling illegal drugs. You get the picture, right? It does require some thinking. What does the apostle mean when he tells us, for all things give thanks? And that's what I want to think a little bit about today, but in the general topic of thankfulness and thanksgiving and so forth. Some of you will know, if you can see it, who this is. His name is Nick Vujicic. He's born of Serbian parents in Melbourne, Australia, and he was born without arms and without legs. You could look at his website, lifewithoutlimbs.org. I've heard him speak, not live, but I've heard him speak on several topics, and he strikes me as the most thankful human being I have ever heard in my life. At the age of 15, he trusted Christ as his Savior. And God has done a wonderful work. He's given him a gift of public speaking, a gift of explaining things, and he is truly thankful. You won't be able to tell in this picture, but where his left leg would be, he has a kind of a little paddle there, and that's the only limb he has. But with that, he can balance himself, he can play soccer, he can swim, he can skydive. And normally when he speaks in public, they put him on a table. There'll be a table up here and he'll be on the table. And so he'll be the normal height of a speaker because he'll be standing, balancing himself on the table. And he'll go back and forth on the table. And it's truly remarkable. Anyway, thinking about thankfulness in that regard, what a striking example. And it's striking to me because it contrasts so strongly with how I feel most of the time. I sincerely feel that I am deficient in thankfulness. And so I got into this topic thinking about it. What could I do about it? What does the Bible have to say? Does God have any help for me in understanding it? Well, we have several things to notice from the scriptures. In our English Bible, we have the word thank, thanks, thankful, thankfulness, and thanksgiving in the Bible 139 times and 134 verses. And there's quite a preponderance of them in the Psalms, where we find those words given to us 39 times in the Psalms. It has a broad range in the scripture as well. The first mention of thanksgiving is in Leviticus chapter 7, speaking of the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The last mention is all the way in the book of the Revelation chapter 11, where those in heaven say, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty. And so we go from Leviticus to Revelation. We have two different Old Testament Hebrew language words that are used to give us the idea of thanks and thanksgiving. And we have two different New Testament words, which are also used for thanks and thanksgiving. And we'll see more about that. First, the Old Testament words. Now, I'm not much on pronouncing Hebrew words, but you can see the word there, and it appears in Leviticus chapter 7 and in so many other places in the Old Testament. In this particular verse, he speaks of the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And when you're to bring the sacrifice of thanksgiving, you're to give thanks. And this is the word that's used. And so you could just take it in that natural sense, at least at first. The second word appears, I like this word. We have this word in English, yada. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But anyway, I was just thinking last night, wouldn't it be great if every time someone said yada, 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 it reminded me to be thankful, right? Because I could just sort of use that against them and say, aha, yes, thank you for reminding me to be thankful, and saying that senseless expression that I'm tired of hearing. Let's take a look at Psalm 75. I'm sorry if you don't think of things that way, but I'll take all the help I can get. Psalm 75 is great. Look at verse 1. We give thanks unto thee, O God. We give thanks, for thy name is near. Men tell of thy wondrous works. And he goes on. But this is that particular Hebrew word. And so we have these two that, at least on the surface of it, seem to be almost interchangeable. They could be thanksgiving or thanks or thankfulness, depending on whichever one the speaker or the author chose to use. Let's look briefly at our New Testament words. Okay. Our New Testament words coming right up. Here we go. We have, first of all, used in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, the word exomologeo, or exomologeo. And, you know, it's a little tricky. You may recognize part of this word. If you have thought about Greek words a little bit, you may have heard a sermon on the word homologeo. And this is like that. Homologeo is the normal word for confession. And what people often say about it is the homo prefix means the same, and the logeo is to speak or speech or to say something. And so you're saying the same thing. You're agreeing with God about your sin, and that is confession, agreeing with God that what you've done is wrong. And this word is just like that word, but it has the ek prefix, and the ek prefix is the out of or flowing out of prefix. Now that's complicated to think about. Now we've got three parts of a word to think about. If you're not careful when you do this, just think of doing it in English. If you were to take a word apart into its different syllables, chop it up and think about what each syllable means, you might think that a catapult had something to do with launching four-legged furry creatures into space against your enemy. But a catapult has nothing to do with cats, right? And so you have to guard yourself against thinking that you know something about a foreign language because you can understand some of the syllables of the words. Well, let's go on to our second word, and we'll tie that together in a second. The second word is eucharisteo. And this one is the one that I read to you in 1 Corinthians 11, 24. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, eucharisteo. And because of the usage of that word, you will find groups that take the bread and the cup that we use in the Last Supper and call it the Eucharist, because the Lord Jesus gave thanks. He eucharisteo the bread, and he eucharisteo the cup. Anyway, a little bit of understanding about that word is the EU prefix means good, normally, and charis is the normal word for grace. But when you put them together, it means thanksgiving or giving thanks. Now, here's something that is exceedingly strange to me. We've got now four words that are used in our English Bibles, two Hebrew and two Greek, to mean thanksgiving or thanks or thankfulness or giving thanks. Three of the four words also mean confession. Now that is striking because it's across two different languages that are not linguistically related at all. Let's take a look at that for just a second. I want to show you how it works. First of all, we have the word in Hebrew, todah, and it's used in Joshua chapter 7. In the issue of Achan. And in Joshua 7:19, Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and make confession unto him, And tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And as you know, Achan is going to be stoned to death for what he did. Many men of Israel died in battle because of what Achan did. And Joshua uses this word in verse 19, make confession unto him. Now you couldn't possibly translate it, make thanksgiving unto him, give thanks unto him. The word does have two distinct meanings. And we have lots of words in English like that. I was just thinking of some examples. We have the word bear, which could be a large furry animal, or it could be bear one another's burdens, right? And we can make some nice little designs and things to hang on our walls that have that saying on them, right? Bear one another's burdens and make it look like a bear. But we know they're totally separate words, aren't they? And maybe that's the case here. But we have it in this first of the Hebrew words. We have one more Hebrew word. The second one, let's look at Leviticus 5:5. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things that he shall confess that wherein he hath sinned, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord. He's not speaking of the thanksgiving offering here. That's a different chapter. It's impossible to translate the word thanksgiving because you would then be saying that when he's guilty in one of these things that he shall give thanks, and that's not correct. The context is clearly that he shall confess. So we have these two words that are normally used to give us the idea of thanks or thanksgiving. Both of them can also be used for the idea of confession. But here's where it gets exciting. We find the same thing in the New Testament, an entirely different language, Acts chapter 19. Acts 19, verse 18. Many also of them that had believed came, confessing and declaring their deeds. And not a few of them that practiced magical arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and so forth. It could be, you'd have to know the context and to know why. There are other places where this word is translated confessing, but isn't it interesting, it is to me anyway, that across these two different languages, we have words that can be thanksgiving or thanks or thankfulness, and on the other hand, they can be confession or confess. And it's even the case that the normal word for confession in our Bibles that I told you, homologeo, that word given in Hebrews 13:15 is translated as giving thanks. And so these words are closely connected, both in Hebrew and in English. In Hebrew and in Greek, but not at all in English, is what I mean to say. And that's why it strikes me so interesting, because we don't think confession and thanksgiving they're entirely separate universes, aren't they? But maybe not. Maybe the Bible's trying to tell us something. I think it's no accident that these things are put forward for us to understand and see. Well, now let's think for a little bit about what we did on Thursday. Is it scriptural? What is scriptural? That's a bunch of cartoony-looking pilgrims and Indians there, and they've got all kinds of food, so I can relate to that part. So I got to wondering, is it scriptural to give thanks for food? Okay, that's easy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 3. He's speaking of some who will fall away from the faith, and what they do is they're forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. And so it's proper to give thanks, to receive with thanks the food that God has provided. God has provided things for us to eat. We owe him thanksgiving because of it. We also have Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that eateth, eateth unto the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not unto the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. And so whether we eat or don't eat, it's appropriate to give God thanks. And in this verse, it seems that he's indicating when we eat, we're to give God thanks. So we have good scriptural support for doing that. What about taking a whole day and setting it aside as a day of thanksgiving? Is there any Bible verse for that? Is it scriptural to do that? Leviticus chapter 23. Now, as we look at this one, just keep in mind there's a difference between asking, is it scriptural to set aside a day for thanksgiving, as opposed to if I said, is it scriptural to reserve all your thanksgiving for one day? That's a different question. We're not asking that question yet. Right now we're asking, is it scriptural to set aside a day for thanksgiving? Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 39. Howbeit on the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruits of the land, ye shall keep the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the eighth day shall be a solemn rest. And ye shall take you on the first day the fruit of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations. I don't have the word for thanks or thanksgiving there, but we have specifically a day called for rejoicing. In fact, 7 days called for rejoicing. I looked for specific full days set aside for thanksgiving, and I didn't find any. But we know it has been the practice of many in the church, many Christians throughout the last several thousand years. And so it could be that there's nothing wrong with it. We don't find anything saying not to have a day for thanksgiving, but this is weak support for setting aside a day for something. And in this case, setting aside days for rejoicing. The Lord commanded that of the Israelites. You know, just thinking about this picture, it's worth noting that the thing that actually happened that we point to as the historical root for our celebration of Thanksgiving Day is probably much more nuanced than you and I learned in school. It's certainly true, for example, that the Puritans came to this country to escape religious persecution, and yet they came here and set up religious persecution of their own. And it's certainly true that they came to this country with thoughts of God's goodness and his provision for them. But when they came here, the country wasn't empty. There were people living here, and in many cases, they killed them. They gave them diseases, and they enslaved them. And so there are things that are quite a bit more nuanced than what you and I may have learned in school. It didn't always look like this cartoon, did it? And so you could understand why some people object, perhaps, to having that particular holiday with those particular historical roots. But to the idea of giving thanks, well, that's a separate issue, isn't it? And that's what we want to be thinking about. And so now let's think about our Lord Jesus and what kind of example do we have. Did the Lord Jesus give thanks? Well, we read one in 1 Corinthians 11, but let's just see. I've characterized all of the examples that I could find of the Lord Jesus giving thanks, and I'll just tell you what they are. First of all, The Lord Jesus gave thanks because God hid things from the wise of this world and revealed them unto babes. And we have that in Matthew 11:25 and Luke 10. The Lord Jesus also gave thanks for the loaves and the fishes. And when he took those loaves and those fish, he broke them and he gave thanks. And we have that specifically said in Matthew 15, Mark 8, and John 6, that he gave thanks for the loaves and the fish. In another case, in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus gave thanks at a meal with some of his disciples. They had come in, were fishing, he had a meal with them, and he gave thanks for the food. The Lord Jesus gave thanks at the grave of Lazarus in John 11:41, and then he also gave thanks, as we know, for the bread and for the cup at the Last Supper. And that's in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22. But there's something interesting that's happened in one of those cases, and let's look at it in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and understanding and didst reveal them unto babes. Yea, Father, for so it was well-pleasing in thy sight. At the beginning of verse 21 there, in that same hour he rejoiced. That is an exceptionally strong word for what the Lord Jesus did. He rejoiced exceedingly. He greatly rejoiced. He rejoiced and then some. And it was that rejoicing that seems to have brought forth the expression of thanksgiving. He rejoiced and said, I thank thee. And so there seems to be a connection between rejoicing and giving thanks. And if you think about it, doesn't it make sense that there should be? When we can rejoice, it may bring forth thanksgiving in us. And it seems that that connection is shown by the Lord Jesus here. Well, with all that, 139 times in 134 verses, why am I not more thankful? There are some things that cause it to be more difficult. And what are the problems related to giving thanks? One is generic thanksgiving. And this may be a problem with our Thanksgiving Day celebration as well. We have a country who does not know, for the most part, the blessings of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they cannot give thanks for the blessing of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ because they know nothing about it. And so their thanksgiving is generic. They have a thankful attitude, or they wish they had a thankful attitude, and I'm putting myself in that category. To some degree, I wish to have a more thankful attitude. And one of the problems with it is I think about that in a generic way, which lacks sincerity. Let's take a look, please, at Daniel chapter 2. I want to look at two quick examples here. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 23. Daniel is praying. He says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast now made known unto me what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Daniel is giving thanks in a very specific way for something that God revealed unto him. And that's a great example for us. Daniel being very specific with his thanks to God. Now let's look at an example that lacks sincerity, and that would be in Acts chapter 24. In Acts chapter 24, we have the occasion of a man named Tertullus who comes to accuse Paul before Felix. And look what he says in verse 2, Acts 24, 2. And when he was called, Tertullus began to accuse him, accuse Paul, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy much peace," he's speaking to Felix, "and that by thy providence evils are corrected for this nation, we accept it in all ways and in all places, most excellent Felix, with all thankfulness." The man is pompous. He's insincere. He's a flatterer. He's trying to get something from Felix. And so he's expressing thankfulness, but in an insincere way. I don't know if you know anyone like that. But thankfulness expressed in insincerity is not what God desires from us. The second big issue is that thankfulness can be misdirected. Well, I know that it's been said that humorously, thinking of things that school children sometimes write, that the pilgrims gave thanks to the Indians for the corn and the food that they had. And that's often said as a joke, ha-ha, see how stupid our school children are. But it's not that far afield, actually. The Indians, if they provided assistance, would certainly have had thanks due to them, wouldn't they? They should have been thankful for the help that was given, and it wouldn't have been wrong to say thank you for that help. But it could also be that their primary Thanksgiving Day was directed toward God. I heard this past week an astrophysicist say that we should give thanks to the Big Bang, that we're here, that the universe cooled to the degree that it has and it expanded just right, so that and thanks were due to the Big Bang because of that. Well, that's interesting. I suppose he meant it in a way to provoke thought. And it does, doesn't it? What kind of thanks would be due to a mindless force that cares not one bit whether you exist or don't exist? But God does. God does care, and so thanks are due to him. Now, at that level, God has two great works that he's been weaving together throughout history. One is the work of creation, and God's creation is certainly wonderful. And the second is God's work of redemption. And that work is not completed yet. The work on the cross, Act 1 of the Symphony of Redemption, is completed, but God still works, drawing men and women and boys and girls unto himself for salvation. When we are thankful along the axis of creation, that is good. We could be thankful, for example, that God created the strong and weak nuclear force just right to hold atoms together. We could be thankful that gravity is just the way it is, not too strong, not too weak here, that our planet is just the right temperature for us. We could give thanks for all those things along the axis of creation. And we know more things about that axis than the patriarchs or even the apostles ever knew. They didn't know anything about atoms and baryons and gravitrons and all of those sorts of things. And we could be thankful for those things, couldn't we? But along the axis of redemption, we do far better to give thanks to God, because that is his mighty work, his great symphony, whereby he is redeeming unto himself those who were lost. And to give thanks along that axis is far better. Well, another problem is to be thankful for the wrong things. And I started off telling you humorously examples if I was to be thankful for not getting caught when robbing the bank. But let's look at an example in the scripture about this in Luke chapter 18. Is it possible to give thanks for the wrong things? Luke chapter 18, verse 11, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I get. He's thanking God, isn't he? He says it. I thank thee, God. But why? He's thanking God for all the wrong things. He's thanking God for things that are probably not even true. The Lord Jesus would say to him, if you have hated your brother, you've committed murder. If you've lusted after a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery, and so forth. And the question would come down to, are you really better than this publican who you claim to be better than? Is God more pleased with you than with the publican? And the answer in this case was an emphatic no. God was not more pleased with him. God was pleased with the publican. The Lord Jesus said in verse 14, I say unto you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. And so he was giving thanks, but in the way of exalting himself. And so he was giving thanks for the wrong things. I also think of the example of Esau. We won't look at it today, but Esau held all the wrong things to be of value. He valued lightly the things which he should have held dear, and he valued dear, exalting himself, the things which he should have held lightly in humility. And finally, under this category, problems with thanksgiving, we're not talking about the turkey was too dry or we ran out of stuffing, we're talking about problems in giving thanks. The lack of thanksgiving leads to worse problems, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. Because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And you could think along with me of many examples in the Bible where people were not thankful as they should have been. We could think together about the Israelites' lack of gratitude for manna in Exodus 16 and Numbers 11, and they asked for meat, and God gave them quail up to the nostrils. We could think of many other examples of people who were blessed. We hinted at one this morning, didn't we, thinking of Solomon, who was the wisest, the richest, and the heir of the seed of David, promised, saw God sitting upon that throne, and he himself, as it says in Chronicles, sat upon the throne of the Lord, and yet he loved many foreign women, and he was broken down because of it. Lack of gratitude may have been a fundamental issue in that fall. Well, knowing these things, what are we going to do? What could I do about it? Is there anything that I could improve upon? One is the frequency of thanksgiving. And here we come right down to the day of thanksgiving. Nothing wrong with it, but if you're storing up all your thankfulness and all your thanksgiving for that one day, it's going to be kind of overloaded, isn't it? And so it'd be good not to spread it out in a sense, but to have more of it so that it couldn't possibly all fit in one day. There's a radio station in the local area that has a thing that they call Gratitude Tuesday. And every Tuesday, you're supposed to practice being thankful for something. Now, that's a good idea. Nothing wrong with that. We're commanded in Colossians 3:15, be ye thankful. And so we are to be thankful. The second counter to the problems of thanksgiving is to be specific. Generic thanks, like generic worship, is ineffective. And that's one of the things that we fight against in our worship and remembrance is being generic. We want to be specific and remember specific things about the Lord Jesus and about what he has done and the salvation that's been provided to us. On Wednesday night, our brother, in giving the announcements, mentioned that he had a long list of things for which he was thankful. And I appreciated hearing that and thinking about it myself. And I've been thinking about it ever since then, And I haven't written down a list, a long list of things that I am thankful for, but I should have a long list, shouldn't I? And it would help me be more thankful if I had those things more in my mind specifically. And then we're told to be thankful for all things and in all things, and the difficulties that that brings to our mind. Next, we have the issue of sincerity. And where I work, we do a lot of our business by email. And it's desired that everyone should have what they call a signature block at the bottom of your email, right? This is some kind of crazy government regulation or something. But you're supposed to say who you are, what your phone number is, and so forth. Now, that's fine. And I'm all for it. Some people, however, right above that, they put the thank you, comma, and their name, and then that. And so it automatically gets jammed into every email that they send. It just saves them from typing thank you and putting their name, you see? It's automatic. And I just wonder if that's a symptom of, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying they're insincere or anything, but it just humorously made me think of insincerity that way. I talked to a brother from Georgia a couple of days ago who told me that when he thanks the Lord three times in a row. I'm not going to make a law about it, but it seemed to me that's pretty interesting. That could really, why am I doing that? Am I doing that to remind myself that I'm supposed to be sincere? That could work. That could help me. I was thinking about that. And then in Luke 17, we have the example of the 10 who were cleansed of leprosy, but only one came back. And why did he come back? To give thanks. And the Lord Jesus himself said, where are the 9? Now, if the 9 had come back after hearing that, I don't know if he would have wanted to see them. Would they have been sincere, or would they have only been coming back because he said, where are the 9? You know, the great thing about the one was that he came back and he gave thanks. And then last, a more correct evaluation of our circumstances leads to better thanksgiving. Sometimes we have trouble, like our brother was saying last week, in thinking about the general topic of brokenness. Sometimes it's hard for us to know what is good and what isn't. I'm smart enough to look back at my life and realize, at least I think, that things could have turned out different in this area or that area if I had made different decisions. At least I think that. But God knows best, doesn't he? And I really can't replay the past and make anything different. God, however, is one who knows the end from the beginning. And things could have been different with a different decision, but what I don't realize all the time is that there are many times when the Lord may have preserved me, and he may have done so silently. I may not have any idea that the Lord preserved me from something. Sometimes the Lord may have put a talking donkey in my way to stop me from doing something. Other times he may have done it silently. But think of this, along the axis of redemption, where would any of us be without the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers? A correct understanding of our circumstance in relation to the salvation that's been given us seems to me helpful toward thinking about thankfulness. And these three words, not exactly independent thoughts, not exactly independent of each other. There is a spectrum of things that are godly responses that are related. Trusting in God in the circumstances in which I find myself, humbly confessing the things that are wrong in my life, and giving God thanks even when I don't understand what he's doing. So even if all you have to be thankful for is the fact that this message is over, that's a start, and God can use it if you want him to. Let's close in prayer. Our God, we thank you for the richness of our salvation. We've been thinking about thankfulness, and for those of us who wish to be more thankful, our God, we wish that you would help us to be so. Help us to realize our circumstances more truly the way you see them, and to catch a glimpse from time to time of what you're doing. We realize that you are in control of our circumstance. You hold our lives in the palm of your hand. And we would give you thanks for the many blessings that you've given us, some silently, some openly, some we can prove, some we can't. But you know, and one day we'll be before you and be able to know more fully the things that you've done for us. In the meantime, we give you thanks today, asking your blessing upon your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.